You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Mamutsi, alongside me as always, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, how you feeling, brother?
Oh, Mo. Fantastic. Congratulations. Congratulations to the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks are in the NBA Finals, and they were just fantastic in Game 5. I mean, they played like a true champion. They were the better team in this series, and congratulations. And I'm really looking forward to the NBA Finals, and I'm sure Mo will find a way to be there. I'm sure he will find a way to be there.
I'm trying. If anyone listening let me know.
No, Mo's not trying. Mo's going to be there. And he will disclose how he will be there.
Well, I've got to do game one on TV here in the UK. Mm-hmm. They want me to be in the studio for it. So I have to do that. Then I'm trying to be out in Boston for game two.
Okay.
And then if the series goes to game five and game seven, I'll still be in Boston for those, hopefully, unless I get booked for any other work. I just need to find a way to get to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Those flights are pretty damn expensive right now. Anyway, let's talk about this game.
Okay.
The Timberwolves lost on their home floor, 124 to 103. The game was over before it began. Luka Doncic scored 20 points in the first 10 minutes. Dallas went on a 17-1 run to close out the first quarter. They were up 35-19. And then in the second quarter, the Dallas Mavericks defense was so locked in. They were up 69-40 at the half. And then the second half of the game was so boring. BJ's talking to me about what the pyramids were made for and how an international network of pyramids could have been a power generator that allowed humans to communicate across the world in ancient times. But I digress. Luka Doncic, simply sensational to start this game out. Kyrie Irving, simply sensational to finish this game out. They both finished with 36 points. Luka had 10 rebounds and 5 assists to go with it. Kyrie had 5 assists to go with it as well. Gafford gave them 11. Lively gave them 9 off the bench. PJ Washington gave them 12. And, you know, you could see quite clearly that, BJ, what we spoke about in the previous episode is a concern I raised to you when I said, do you think that the Minnesota Timberwolves are satisfied with just not getting swept? And you saw that tonight. There was no fight from them after they went down early. They couldn't find a way to get back in the game. Anthony Edwards finished with 28, 9, and 6. Karl-Anthony Towns gave them 28 points on a horrendous shooting night, but he still gave them 28. But they didn't really get anything else across the board. What was your big takeaway from this game?
Well, I think we were talking with Coach Sir, you know, that was here, and we were talking about the next game, and you made it. That was a great point that you made. I thought that was a very valid point. You know, when I watched the game, the Dallas Mavericks were very upset with themselves. You could tell that they were upset that they lost game four. They really wanted to close this out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really upset of how they played. And in particular, it wasn't so much that Minnesota played exceptionally well in game four. It was the Dallas Mavericks. They didn't bring their A game. In particular, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving was not, you know, Kyrie Irving.
First elimination game he's ever lost in his career, I think that was.
Yeah. Now, one thing about a great player that I always like to say is that a great player is never going to have back-to-back bad games. So I was sure that Kyrie Irving, I didn't know who else was going to play well.
Oh, but you knew Luka would play well.
Well, you know, I don't know where Luka's body's at sometimes. You know,
Luka's football team is in a Champions League final on Saturday, which he wants to watch. He was not trying to play game six. He was making sure they won game five.
I can't speak on that, you know, but I could say that I knew Kyrie was going to come out. And I knew Kyrie was going to come out and force the tempo and play well and really get his game back on track. Now, when Luka came out like that, I said, oh, it's game over. Because when Luka's come out, and then Kyrie got to cooking. I think they both ended with, 36 points or something like that.
That's right.
And then the game was over. And, you know, they got Lively back. I mean, did he miss a shot? Did I hear that correctly?
He didn't miss a shot in the entire series. Yep.
That's what concerns me about this team as we head into the NBA Finals. Those bigs for the Dallas Mavericks are terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's also the front court of the Wolves is earning $90 million this year. The front court of the Mavericks combined is earning like $24 million.
Yeah, I mean, Gafford has 11 and 9, and then Lively has 9 and 8. Okay, so you get 20 and 17 from the center position mm-hmm. without calling a play for them. Okay, and they're consistently getting
four blocks.
Yes, that's what, and you're consistently getting that every single night. That type of production is hard to beat.
And the most important part, they're not running any offense for them.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're not getting any play calls. They're just playing. When you're getting that type of production as the eighth option, they're not even the fifth option. They're the eighth option in the offense, right? And they're still putting up these type of numbers, and they're just playing vertical basketball. So, you know, those guys are terrific. Gafford and Lively, give the front office, you know, give those guys credit. Nico Harrison and all those guys, give those guys credit. It's been amazing to watch. And I think this is going to be a terrific finals because, you know, Boston can take away some things. I don't know if they could take away everything, but they
Well,
could take away some things.
I think we're going to do a finals preview episode. We're going to get Scott back on the show and do a finals preview
Okay.
episode. But I want to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves while we're here. Because in amongst this fantastic run, they've had a fantastic season. Let's not take anything away from them. They couldn't get the job done, but they did take down the reigning champs. They had the best defense in the league. And in amongst all of that, there is this ownership battle going on where Alex Rodriguez is trying to buy the team from Glenn Taylor, but it didn't go through. The reason being, he didn't want to commit all the money to the salary if he was to become owner of the team, which means if he is successful in his purchase, it looks like this team won't be coming back in its same form. Currently they have basically their entire roster on the books for next season, with the exception of Monte Morris, Kyle Anderson, Jordan McLaughlin, and then a bunch of guys who never really play anyway, right? But here's the concerns, right? Number one, Kyle Anderson, who's a key piece for them coming off the bench. And then next season, Nikhil Alexander-Walker is in the final year of a $4 million a year contract, which would be severely underpaid given what he's shown in the postseason. And Naz Reid will be on the penultimate year of his contract with a final year as a player option, where he's only earning $13 million next year. And then you've already committed $50 million to Karl-Anthony Towns, $44 million to Rudy Gobert, $35 million to Anthony Edwards, and $23 million to Jaden McDaniels. So if they're not able to pay these salaries, they're not going to be able to bring the same roster back how it goes. Do you see them making any moves over the summer? Because you look at a team like the Nuggets who were eliminated, and you think, well, they just need to get better pieces on their bench and they can bring back their team. But with the Timberwolves, there's a lot of talk about maybe Karl-Anthony Towns being the one that's moved. Do you see any light in that situation?
I see them not actively shopping players on their team because they have a great, you know, when you look at their core, right? Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, and Anthony Edwards. I think that's their core. I think McDaniels is right there. I think he is positioned to maybe step up because offensively they're going to need him to be, you know, a 15 to 17 point scorer, for instance. So I think they will actively listen for clearly Anthony Edwards is off the table. Okay. I don't think Rudy Gobert is on the table. So I think that probably leaves Karl-Anthony Towns, a player that will they would listen to for the right piece, whatever that piece may be.
What do you think that piece would be? Because they do have Mike Conley, who's 36 at a point guard position,
I'm gonna
where they might
say
need an
that
upgrade.
Mike, okay, so here's one of the things for sure. You know, Mike Conley is a terrific, terrific player. Okay, but he is what, 35, 36 years of age. He is smaller, a smaller guard. So I think where they would look to upgrade would be at the guard position. Because when you look at their team as is, they only have, with the exception of Mike Conley, Anthony Edwards is the next best ball handler. So I would look to put another ball handler into infuse another ball handler into this group. Because what you saw was when things got tight or the other team's defense stepped up and took away certain things from the Minnesota Timberwolves, their only counter to that was to put Anthony Edwards as the primary ball handler. So I would think, just in looking at this team, to say, how do we get another ball handler on the floor so that we can get Anthony Edwards to catch the ball with a live dribble? So he doesn't have to play the point guard, have to be the scorer, has to be the double team. And by the way, he's taking on the other team's best offensive perimeter player. So that's a lot of work for a guy, for one player, for him to be able. So if you can relieve him of some responsibility, and I think one of the responsibilities would be to ball handling duties, I think that would be a significant upgrade for this team because, you know, Anthony Edwards is going to be in this mix for many years to come with his age. And now you got to get other players around him that's going to do the same.
Absolutely. And then for the Timberwolves as well, do you think now that they're more kind of in the consciousness of the rest of the league, conscience, I don't know, more that they're on the radar now for the rest of the league after what they did to Denver, and teams may be better prepared to face them next year, do you see them having this sustained level of success, or do you see them maybe not being a conference finals team next year?
Well, you know, I always, you know, we've seen this. You know, we saw it recently with the Atlanta Hawks. Just because you get to the conference finals doesn't mean that you automatically get back there, especially with a young team. So I would like to give them this warning now. What you did last year was last year. Every year presents a new challenge, and all year now they got to play with this expectation to get back to the conference finals with only one other place to go. That's to get to the NBA finals. And if they get to the first round or second round next year, it would be looked at as a failure. So I think this team right now, this was a very valuable season for them. I thought they played great. I thought they had a great season. I really did. I thought the experiment proved to be correct with Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns. They were terrific, but now how do you take the next step? And that's a big decision that needs to be made. Do you stand pat? Do you add something to it? Do you take away something from it? But what we know is Anthony Edwards will be leading the charge. So you have a top five player that you can build around, which is fabulous. But he's going to need help, and he's going to need help now because he's entering into the core of his, you know, his career, and he's going to be there for a while. So I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are sitting in a really nice place. They should feel good about where they're at. However, I think they're going to have to do something that's going to get them over the top because Luka, Shai Alexander, you know, these guys are all here and they're going to be here and they're young too. So it's going to be very competitive. And let's not forget about the Joker. Joker is still sitting in the Western Conference. So it's going to be very competitive over there. And it's no sure thing for you to get back here to the conference finals.
Now, I've been thinking about this. It was actually really cool to see Nico Harrison, basketball operations president for the Mavericks, getting that conference finals trophy. And he has a big part to play in his success because of the moves he made at the deadline. Now, I've been thinking about some of the best moves we've seen at the trade deadline, which brought across players that impacted teams that won titles. So I'm talking about PJ Tucker being traded to the Bucks, Marc Gasol being traded to the Raptors. Was Rasheed Wallace traded to the Pistons in 04, the year they won a championship? Nazem Mohammed as well for the Spurs, I think, one year. But I've never seen a team trade for two guys that enter their starting lineups and then they go on to the finals, maybe even win a championship. So adding PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford was absolutely amazing. I wasn't big on those moves at the time, but he clearly saw something that I didn't see. So shout out to him. But how difficult it is for teams to integrate not one, but two pieces in a trade deadline move or just around the trade deadline and then have this level of success so early because the Mavericks are 35 and 11 in their last 46 games when Luka plays, when so they have a healthy team. So what's that like?
Well, it's an incredible achievement. And this is very rare that you see something like this. You know, you talk about one, you integrate a player and you put him into let's say your top eight players and you win a championship. Okay, that's really good. But to take two players from the franchises that they came from, integrate them as starters, and now you're going to the NBA Finals. Okay, now you're talking about something that's clearly they saw something that the rest of us didn't see. And this has been, I mean, PJ Washington, wow. Gafford, wow. This kid Lively, excuse me, this kid Lively has been amazing.
Now, this is one thing, BJ. This is one thing that's made me very angry about the Dallas Mavericks because you know me. There's one thing I hate more than anything. More than, not as much as I hate flopping, but I hate tanking. Okay. But the Dallas Mavericks right now are the best advert for teams who are in the lower playoff seeds to tank and miss the playoffs because everyone got onto them for missing the playoffs last year. Everyone was saying, oh, they didn't even make the playoffs. Da, da, da. Okay. They did that so that they could keep their pick. And with their pick, they drafted Derek Lively. And to just give you an indication of how important he is to their team right now, everyone was worried about their rookie center off the bench being available or not being available for this game, because his impact, whether it's on defense, blocking shots and altering shots in the paint, or whether it's on offense, finishing lobs off the pick and roll, or in particular, his passing out of the short roll where he can find open shooters when a defense collapses, has been absolutely instrumental to the success of this Mavericks team. And I don't remember the last time I've seen a rookie player come in and have this level of impact on this level stage whilst losing his role in the starting lineup. For a lot of players, that would be a big confidence knock, but he's taken it in his stride and he's been playing amazing basketball for this squad.
I mean, what can you say? I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, he's a big athletic kid. I mean, it's not like he was just burning up the Nets last year at Duke, I believe. That's where he went to school. But you saw the talent. You saw some things. But I thought that was a huge risk for him to come out in the draft based on what he did, you know, his freshman year or his 1 year there at Duke.
He averaged 5 points, five rebounds, and 2.5 blocks per game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but again, that to me, Mo, is what scouting is all about. That's what I always tell you. Mm-hmm. You haven't scouted until you've been wrong.
Now, one of the youngest players in that draft as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's why you scout and give the scouting staff of the Dallas Mavericks, give them all the love and respect, because everyone's talking about, like in this draft, oh, it's not a lot. This is a weak draft. Everyone says this. No, there's always good players. Always good players. It's our job to scout, to identify them, and then to put them in position for them to be successful. And then you see Derek Lively, and now everyone's like, oh, what a great pickup. No, he was there. There were 11 players. I think he was like 12th in the draft. So there were 11 players who went before him. Now, if you redid the draft, he'll probably be a top five guy. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's how this works. So,
yep. Before him was Jet Howard, Cason Wallace, Taylor Hendricks, Jairus Walker, Anthony Black. Like, there's a lot of guys that you would put him ahead of now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is what I enjoy more than anything else about the game is scouting and looking at players and going, do you have the vision to see what they could be? And how quickly could you take potential off of their name? So this kid, Derek Lively, phenomenal scouting. That's why you scout. Phenomenal by Jason Kidd and the staff to see that, to integrate that. And amazing leadership by the vets. I mean, Luka and these guys, they seem like they love this guy. I mean, they feed this guy. I mean, he should take Luka and Kyrie out to dinner every single night.
The irony of feeding him is I saw them in preseason in Abu Dhabi, and I looked at Derek Lively and I thought, man, this guy is skinny as hell. How is he going to survive in the NBA against the grown men? And he's found a way.
Yeah, he's out. You know, the game is not as physical, so he's athletic enough. You know, you see these guys now that play vertical basketball, catch alley-oops. He's active. He's a live body. And so, you know, he's found the right home for him. So that's a great role. I think now he's on a trajectory to really take off in his career and just keep doing what he's doing. As long as he's willing to accept that role and what he's doing right now, I think the sky's the limit for this young man.
Absolutely, man. BJ, what are your plans now that there's no basketball for us a week?
Well, I've my time now is my youngest son. He wants to play one-on-one every night. So now that there's no NBA games for him and I to sit down and watch, it's been one of the thrills this year. He's just taken a love for the game, just out of nowhere. He'll sit down with me, we'll watch games. He knows the players' names now. He calls them by the knee. Hey, I like Ant-Man. What do you think he's going to do? You know, he knows these guys now. So it's been one of the thrills. But now we're going to get out in the backyard more and play a little bit. So my knees will be hurting. I'll be getting my ice bags ready. You know.
One of us, a 10-year-old, he just got ice.
Yeah. You know, no, he's eight. Yeah, he's eight.
Oh, yeah, so, getting eight,
know,
bro.
We're out there. There are no fouls. You know, we got a rule in the backyard. No blood. No blood. No foul. So if we don't have blood, there's no foul.
Respect.
And so he's playing through contact. So well, he's a, he's He's a physical 8-year old right now. I got the most physical 8-year old in the world right now. He plays through the contact.
I'm gonna have to pay a visit. I'm gonna have to pay a visit in the off season, teach him a thing or two as well. Man, it's gonna be a weird week. It's kind of sad now that we don't have any more NBA on TV.
Oh yeah, well you and I'll just be talking 10 times a day.
No, the podcast will be here. We're gonna bring the people a finals preview episode. We're gonna break down the Mavericks and the Celtics because man, it's gonna be the storylines alone in the finals. Let alone the basketball side of stuff. Porzingis versus his former team. Kyrie versus his former team. Powell against his former team. Well, Jason Kidd trying to win a championship for the Mavs as a player and a coach.
I'm going to tell you, whenever we're ready to talk about it, the championship is going to start with one guy, Drew Holiday. And I told you that at the beginning of the season. He will be the key to why they win a championship if they're going to win a championship this year. And he is going to have to – he's got a huge task ahead of him. Okay? He's got to contain one of those players.
It's going to be Kyrie.
Well, and this guy is a championship caliber player.
Proven champion.
Proven on the defensive end. And Kyrie is a proven champion on the offensive end. So it's going to be a chess match of all. I love it because it's at the guard position. And it's going to be a battle, okay? And when I say elite, it's going to be elite on both ends. And if the Celtics are going to win, it's going to come down to that matchup right there. Kyrie versus Drew Holiday. I'll be watching that one-on-one matchup. And whoever wins that battle, that's who their team's going to win the championship.
Now, the Minnesota Timberwolves made it to the Conference Finals, and they were hit with a curse. And it's the same curse that hit the Phoenix Suns. Whenever a team posts a picture of themselves or a video of themselves doing a workout after the game, it's the famous winner's work quote from the Phoenix Suns on social media. Well, they end up getting humiliated by Luka Doncic. Not every team doesn't post about it, right? So the Suns posted it, Luka went and destroyed them. The Timberwolves posted it, Luka went and destroyed them. I reached out to the Celtics organization today and I said, please promise me that we're never going to take a picture like this. They said, you don't have to worry about that. However, if the NBA or the Mavericks snap a picture of it happening, we can't control that. So anyone who listens to this, who works for the NBA, please don't curse us because that could be the deciding factor in the NBA finals. Winners work, apparently. Apparently not. But that's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. We're going to be back with a finals preview. So make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. We're going to be here with you for the rest of the NBA postseason and beyond. Got the NBA draft. We've got free agency. We've got somebody. We've got everything to look forward to. So you don't want to miss a beat on the show. BJ, anything else you've got from the conference finals that you want to talk about?
I'm going to get my rest. I'm going to get prepared and get my ice bags ready for the weekend. I got a big weekend. We're going back to back. Saturday, Sunday.
I respect that. I got to find a way to pay for this flight to Boston. So I'm going to figure that out. And we're going to keep it moving. Hopefully get out there. So
NBA good, finals,
man. It's been a long season. It's been a real long season, BJ. And who would have thought at the start of the year that it would be the Dallas Mavericks coming out the West?
Again, if you would have told me at the trade deadline that this was going to be the team that got to the finals, I would be like, I don't know. You know, let's see. But this is when you have a talented player like Luka, and he's settled in now. So we know now what's going on with Luka. All right, we've answered that question. What year is this for Luka? It took us what, 7-8 years? What year is this for him?
He got drafted in what, 2018?
I don't know. What year is this?
Yeah, he got drafted in 2018.
Okay, so what, 6 years?
Yep.
Okay, so it took us 6 years to figure it out. Now we know what it is, and so now, let's go. I think it's going to be a great matchup. I mean, you got a lot of things to talk about. There's a lot of things that people can point to, but in the end, I think, you know, like it always is and it should be, it's going to be settled in between the lines. And I think this has a chance to be a terrific, terrific, terrific series. And your Boston Celtics will be trying to put up a banner with this current
roster. Team, baby.
Yeah, so, let's get it.
Hey, man, I can't wait. We'll see you guys there. Most importantly, until next time, get buckets.